My name is Jack Peterson. I am Ajax. I am Mr. Clean. I am the Corona guy. I am Quarantine Man. I am Sex Pac. I'm a Hall of Famer with the hard R. This week, I'm not joined by the man sitting across the table from me. I am joined by the man sitting across the Skype connection.
I am Phil, a.k.a. Prince Havoc, on the gram. I am also in quarantine, and not gonna lie, it's been kind of fun.
Really? So, see, this is not a perspective I've heard before. Most people are pissed off to be in quarantine. A lot of people are, like, stuck at home with their families, and they're like, well, now I hate my family. I didn't before, but now I do. So, you're happy about it. Why is this?
Well, I'm not happy all the time about it. I mean, I can't wrestle. I can't rehearse my band. We can't do the podcast in person, but I like to look on the bright side of things.
Well, that's fair.
I'm home. I can play SmackDown vs. Raw 2006 and 2007 all day, every day.
That's true.
Watch as much wrestling as I want. Eat a bunch of crap. It's great.
That's what I've been doing, too. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's a freeing time. We don't have to go out and do anything. We don't have to interact with other people. We're supposed to not interact with other people, in fact. It's kind of like a governmental mandate at this point. I've been sitting at home watching a lot of wrestling as well. One thing that's weird about this whole coronavirus situation, this COVID-19 thing that everybody's so scared about, is the fact that it's affected wrestling in I think, a negative way. A lot of shows have been canceled. You have all these smaller promotions, these promotions overseas like New Japan, canceling all their shows. You have AEW and WWE still trying to do their shows. They're running their shows out of empty arenas. AEW has been doing Dynamite each and every week, and as well as AEW Dark, just like they would normally do, except in Jacksonville with nobody in attendance except for the wrestlers. And it seems like every week they start to have fewer and fewer people on the shows. Same with WWE. They've been having all their shows in the Performance Center, even WrestleMania. And this is a controversial one. WrestleMania 36 is going to be, for some reason, a two-day show hosted by Rob Gronkowski, which I could talk about at length. I don't like the guy. I'm not a fan. But regardless, they're hosting inside the Performance Center, and they pre-taped the show. You like Gronk?
I do. I think he's hilarious.
Really?
I was watching him at so you know how they have New Year's Eve thing, like the Dick Clark thing?
Yeah.
And he was like the host of that, and he was absolutely hilarious. And I thought about it at the time. I was like, he'd be good in WWE. And now look at this. It's great.
See, I never thought he would be good in WWE, and now I've seen him in WWE. I saw him on SmackDown humping the ring post for some reason, dancing to a very strange theme song that he came out to. You know, he's more of a football player, let's say that. He's got a face for radio. He's got a body for football, not wrestling, in my opinion. Regardless, he's hosting this show. He's hosting this WrestleMania thing. I don't know if you've heard of it, this WrestleMania. Big deal, apparently. It's happening over 2 days. A lot of matches. There's like 15 or 16 matches, but they're performing all of them in front of no fans, nobody to react to these things happening. These big title changes that could be happening, these big WrestleMania moments, nobody's sitting there in attendance. So it's weird. It's off-putting. I think the biggest change, though, is the fact that we were supposed to see Roman Reigns versus the worst wrestler of all time, Goldberg. They were supposed to fight for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania. Roman Reigns decided to, like, oh, I don't know, I have cancer, and dropped out of the show. He no longer is going to be performing against Goldberg, and instead Goldberg is facing Braun Strowman. What do you think about this?
Well, let me backtrack a little bit. Now, look. Let me tell you another reason why I like Gronk as a host and why I like stuff like this, all right?
Okay.
It brings WrestleMania to, like, the mainstream media. Yeah. I mean, think about it. It's, like, it's pretty cool because there's probably going to be people that may watch it just because of Gronk that only watch football, and now they're watching WrestleMania, and who knows, maybe they'll become a fan of wrestling after that. That's the reason. That's another reason why I like it. Now, on to Roman Reigns. It's sad because it's like, okay, I don't know about you, but I was chanting for Roman Reigns. I was chanting, I was cheering for Roman Reigns, also chanting. But I just think it was his big time. It was his big break where people would have actually cheered for him. He's fighting Goldberg, who people don't really like, and he hasn't been shoved down their throats in the main event picture. I feel like it's just the perfect story for him to win. But now it's not going to happen, which is pretty sad. And who did you say is going to fight Goldberg?
Apparently it's going to be Braun Strowman.
Okay. Well, I love Braun Strowman a lot, but I kind of wish it was somebody else, like Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle would have been perfect because of all the stuff that he talked about.
Oh, big time,
yeah. Corey Goldberg. But I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I like Braun Strowman a lot, but I kind of wish it was somebody else. Like, someone like Dolph Ziggler, who's been with WWE forever, had, like, what, one world title reign? I mean, there's so many other people they could have picked.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I'm fine. I kind of wish it was still Roman Reigns, though, honestly. I was really cheering for him, which I haven't done in years.
Yeah, no, me too. I do not like anybody currently less than Goldberg, possibly ever. I think he might be my least favorite wrestler of the last 20, 25 years. And so, of course, I'm going to root for anybody against him, just like I'll pretty much root for anybody against Brock Lesnar. So when they face each other, I pretty much just tune out. But it's weird with Braun Strowman. This guy's a really tall guy. He's a huge guy. He's very muscular. He's, what, like 380 pounds? I might be making that up, but I feel like I heard that. So how is Goldberg, I almost said Brock Lesnar, they're basically the same guy at this point. How is Goldberg going to lift Braun Strowman over his head for a jackhammer? How is this going to happen when he can't even do it to Undertaker?
I don't think it's going to happen at all. I mean, I don't know. You know what would be cool? If Goldberg actually ran a match, a full match, where he did different stuff instead of a spear and a jackhammer and a clothesline and a raw.
You're so right. Every single Goldberg match, especially since he came back, but really in his whole career, pretty much, has been like a 2-3 minute squash match. The Undertaker one, which was like the worst match of all time, was like 10 minutes, and you saw how that turned out. So maybe this wouldn't be such a good idea for Goldberg to have like another 10 minute match, because it seems like the longer he goes, the more he looks like he's about to have a heart attack.
Yeah, it's pretty whack, honestly. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, Goldberg does look good for a 50-year-old man.
He does.
But like, he's not doing anything with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's honestly, I don't even want to stress it that much, because there's so many other matches that are gonna be cool. Like the Boneyard match with Undertaker and AJ Styles.
Yeah, we still have no idea what that is, though, a Boneyard match. It's supposed to be something like a Buried Alive match or like a Graveyard match. We've seen things with like Undertaker and Kane before where they have these wacky matches. They usually don't turn out to be anything of substance, anything good at all. But and I think this one will be no exception. I think it'll be something like the broken Matt Hardy matches, probably. They'll be brawling in a cemetery or something. But are you excited for this match?
You just got my hopes up. Now I hope they're going to fight in a freaking cemetery. You know how cool that would be? Oh, yeah. My God. That stuff that Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy did back in TNA in 2016, honestly, is some of the coolest stuff that I ever saw in my life.
Well, yeah, you're not wrong. I think it's a strange thing, because with The Undertaker, he's a guy who basically every time he gets into a match now, he's probably almost 60 at this point. He gets into a match, and he looks like he's probably going to kill himself by the end of the match. He's just like falling apart in front of our eyes. So maybe it's a good thing for him to be on a closed sound stage that's supposed to look like a cemetery, fighting a guy like AJ Styles, who's way younger than him, and also in a way that it's pre-taped, so you can edit it down and just have him look like he's like a cool monster like he used to be. But I think that's really the only way this match would have worked, and it sucks. But the other thing, a lot of other changes have been made to WrestleMania. It seems like almost every day they announce that somebody was taken out of a match or a match was changed because they came down with the coronavirus or they're suspected to. The Miz is apparently said to have it at this point. His match at WrestleMania was supposed to be a three-way ladder match with him and Morrison against New Day and the Usos. That match might not happen at all at this point. Rey Mysterio probably has corona. He's quarantined in his house right now. He was pulled off the card, and Dana Brooke as well was supposed to be in that SmackDown Women's title match, and she is quarantined at this point. Do you think it'll spread even more? Do you think these guys who are up in each other's faces and physical, who is most at risk to get coronavirus? And is it Bill Goldberg?
I think if Goldberg got it, he'll die. No,
yeah.
I think every wrestler's at risk. It's pretty horrible. I mean, something that they should do. You know what they should do? They should quarantine all the wrestlers into one box, and let them not see their families, because we want to be entertained. All right, I want to see Rey Mysterio. I want to see The Miz. They should just let all the wrestlers get coronavirus and just put them in a box somewhere,
sure.
And just let them sit there.
See, the ones who would be most susceptible to getting coronavirus probably shouldn't be wrestling anyway. I think the Undertakers probably would have gotten hit the hardest by it. Maybe the likes of Goldberg, maybe the likes of a Triple H. And maybe that, you know, that'll show them in the future that they shouldn't be wrestling anymore at 50, 60 years old. Maybe that's not such a bad thing at all. But here's the thing about coronavirus. It's caused some very strange changes in these pre-taped episodes. You've had these pre-taped SmackDowns, pre-taped Raws, pre-taped AEW Dynamites. And this week we had two notable segments that were very edited in a way that made them seem like almost like you're watching a movie. It also made them look probably all the faker to some people. But you had first, I know you liked this segment, you were a fan of the segment. You had Matt Hardy and Chris Jericho on Dynamite facing off. Yeah. Matt Hardy teleporting through the stands to the point where if you looked at Chris Jericho's head, you could see his head moving like back and forth they were doing quick cuts.
It was so good.
Yeah, you like this?
Oh, it's so good. It's such good stuff. This is wrestling. This is the art of wrestling right here.
I have no idea if you're being sarcastic right now.
I'm not even being sarcastic. This is life. Okay, there's a little sarcasm in there. But
yeah.
I'm a fan. What I liked the most, maybe, out of all that was Jericho talking to Vanguard One.
I love this.
Talking about how he doesn't like his political views.
Yeah.
I can agree with Jericho. I'm not a fan of Vanguard's political views either.
Yeah, me neither. He's kind of an asshole, isn't he?
I don't know. I used to talk to him. Like, before he got famous, I would text him on Instagram all the time. And he was helping me out, like, oh, you know, you should do this for your gimmick. You should do that. He's actually the one that gave me the name Prince Havoc.
Is he really?
I don't tell a lot of people that, though. They don't believe me.
Vanguard One of the great wrestling minds, but I think Jericho really put this drone in his place. Unfortunately, I think the guy who looked the worst in this segment, though, was Matt Hardy. I like Matt Hardy. I even like the new red streak he's got in his hair. I'm glad he's broken again and he's not like the normal Matt Hardy we were seeing for a while. But this felt like an amateur theater production I was watching. You see Matt Hardy get into the ring and he punched Chris Jericho in the face. Jericho falls over and he's like, "All right, man, you just knocked me out. You knocked out Le Champion." And Matt Hardy's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna delete you." And then flames are going off. It was kind of bullshit, I think.
I love it. How can you not love this? It's like a movie. It's like any movie, any TV show. It's cool. It's fun. I enjoyed it.
It's like a bad movie, I think.
Well, honestly, I'm a fan of bad movies, bad low-budget movies. I can go on and on about that. I'll send everyone a recommendation of a movie that isn't really that bad, but it is low-budget, and it's amazing, and it's called Clerks. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but...
I've never seen it, but I hear from a lot of people that this is like the defining low budget movie.
Oh yes, 100%. It's so, so good. I don't even want to say what happened in the movie. Honestly, I just think you should watch it. I'll tell you one thing though, it's in black and white.
It is, I've heard this, yeah. I think that makes it even better, honestly. I will check this Clerks out, this Clerks thing that apparently I'm just hearing of the first time. But in the meantime,
it's on Netflix though.
It's on Netflix, really?
On Netflix, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know this. So speaking of movies, speaking of cinematic like wrestling like we were talking about, on SmackDown I think we had, I don't know if this was a good segment or a bad segment. I think it might have been a little bit of both. It was different from the Matt Hardy Chris Jericho segment in that I don't know what to think about it. Elias, he came to the ring, he starts playing his guitar, he cuts one of his song promos that have just been getting worse and worse every week. You love them all, really?
He's the lost member of Steel Panther.
Oh my God, well, that's not a compliment. So Elias, he comes
Biggest
to the
compliment
ring.
Anyone can ever get in their life.
We'll argue about that another time, I think, because I do not like the Steel Panther that you are apparently obsessed with. But Elias is. Oh wow, that was a threat of violence, I think. But Elias. I keep saying this fucking guy's name over and over again. Elias, trying to change the subject. So Elias,
I keep doing this on purpose because I just love hearing Elias's name.
Do you? Or else you just don't want to hear about this terrible segment that happened.
Say his name again. Just
Elias.
Say it.
Elias. Elias.
Elias.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Elias. He used to be so great, and that's why this sucks. Because I used to love Elias. He put out an album, well, like an EP. He had a couple of songs. I thought he was hilarious. He really did some cool stuff a couple years ago. His segment with John Cena that we saw live at WrestleMania was pretty dope. But he's fallen, man. He turned face, and he has gone downhill. Every promo that he cut, or every song he sings about his opponent is the same. It's like, oh, you're ugly, and this week this was the worst one, I think, because you had, first of all, Baron Corbin as his opponent for WrestleMania, who I think we can all agree is terrible, right? We don't have to argue about this.
Baron Corbin?
Yeah.
Leader of the Beanie Club? No, I love Baron Corbin.
Oh,
the
you
Constable?
Do not. The con- that's-
I do. I gotta say, I do like him. He's a pretty cool heavy metal dude. I saw him out of character on somewhere on the internet like a couple years ago, and I was like, you know what, this guy's a cool dude. I'd hang out with him.
Yeah, maybe in real life he's cool. I don't like his wrestling. I don't like his.
He's
promos.
A good wrestler, damn it.
He can be a good wrestler. I think that he's had some great matches, but most of the time, I think it's his promo work that I hate.
You know what it is? I think this is what it is. There's something about people going to WWE that they kind of just become bad wrestlers. Not bad wrestlers, but they don't wrestle to their full potential. Like, look at somebody like Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes was in WWE forever. He was Stardust, whatever, whatever. He was not looked at as one of the best wrestlers ever. But for some reason, he left WWE and just became an amazing wrestler. And there's a bunch of people that do that. And I don't know what it is about WWE that does that to these wrestlers. But they kind of, like, don't wrestle at their full potential. It's the weirdest thing. So do you agree with me?
Well, I do agree with you. I think this is true. You see a lot of guys who, like, I feel like Drew McIntyre is a good example. I feel like he's not, you know, wrestling at that level he was on the indies before. I feel like, there's a lot of guys, like Bobby Lashley, I think, is one who's kind of like that. But these are guys who are going to be pushed regardless because of their looks. And I think the thing about Baron Corbin is he's only pushed because he's a tall dude. And it's not like he was actually on the indies and had a big body of work, you know what I mean? I don't think he fits into that same category. But are you saying he was better on NXT?
I enjoyed him on NXT. I liked it. I used to be a big fan of, like, his whole finisher. Like, the end of days, when I first saw that, I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. But I don't know. Maybe he should just give up the whole King gimmick already or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is he needs to do.
I think every
Because I can see where you're coming from as to why you don't like him, because his character is kind of annoying. But he's a good wrestler, and I think he has a lot of potential in AEW.
Fair enough.
Join the Dark Order, damn it.
He should just join the Dark Order. I think that would be a better fit for him. It seems like every time he gives up a bad gimmick, like the Constable or like the guy with a shirt on because he doesn't want to show you that he's got man boobs, every time he gives up one of these bad gimmicks, he gets
Sad
a worse
tummy.
One. Yeah, exactly. Sad tummy, yeah. So... right now, I think that he's pretty insufferable, but I think somehow Elias came out worse on this segment. He came to the ring. He's playing his song. He put up, just like in the old rapper John Cena gimmick, he put up these images, these Photoshopped images of Baron Corbin on the Tron that were like Corbin sitting on the toilet and like Corbin, he put like an angry face of Corbin on the body of a guy sitting on the toilet. What is funny about this? And he literally calls Baron Corbin a turd. And then he calls him a guy who sits on a toilet or something. I don't. What is the joke?
This worries me, Jack. Name your top three comedians right now.
Top three.
I'm curious.
Okay, my favorite comedians. I think at least right now, Tim Heidecker.
Okay.
Dimitri Martin. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's pretty sick.
Okay.
And then I'll go Anthony Jeselnik.
Honestly, I have no clue who these people are.
You don't? Well, you have to look these people up.
I'm not going to talk bad about them because I do not know who they are.
That's fair.
But it's just weird. I have to see what kind of humor you like, because I can't believe you don't like this type of stuff, Jack.
I don't like poop jokes.
Yeah, poop jokes are like what keeps the world turning, really. I mean, the more poop jokes, I think if we have more poop jokes in the world, there will be world peace.
Wow, what a weird perspective. I think poop jokes are like the derivative, like the beginning of comedy, and then you rise up from there and create more sophisticated humor in the future. I think Elias hasn't reached that point yet. The best he can do right now is say that Corbin takes big shits, says that Bailey has like a guy's haircut or something. These are his jokes. And well, yeah, a little bit, but see, it's not
these
a joke, it's an
these
observation.
The
yeah, these are just the truth, exactly.
These are facts.
Yeah. Well, that's what I don't like about them, maybe, because it doesn't feel like it's a real punchline. But regardless, Elias got his comeuppance. He ended up brawling with Corbin. They went up to that little platform up above the stage, and
yes,
he literally was murdered by Baron Corbin. I'm convinced he died. You saw this, right?
On some of the Young Bucks murdering Adam Cole shit. He was murdered.
Yeah.
It was
Baron Corbin hit him with the scepter. and he falls off of like a 15-foot ledge and lands
flat
on his
head. He gets so dazed. He gets hit in the head. He gets so dazed that he almost he throws himself over the whole ledge almost. He realizes where he is, and he's like, oh, my God, I don't want to fall to my death. He's hanging on. Baron Corbin keeps hitting him, keeps hitting him. He's hanging on. And then one blow, boom, he falls to his death. And it was absolutely insane.
The
camera angle looked like something out of SmackDown versus Raw 2006-2007. It was amazing. I think all wrestling should be like this.
I don't disagree with you. I really enjoyed this. I think this was easily that was the best segment on SmackDown this week, which is not a high bar, but it was, you know,
best segment on SmackDown ever.
It might have been the best segment ever on SmackDown. So Elias, I don't know how he's going to make it to his WrestleMania match. As far as I can tell, that he is actually clinically dead at this point. He looked like he was in a lot of pain, and I don't envy him for falling flat on his back off of that ledge. But I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it made for good TV, and I think they should do more stuff like this, considering they have to pre-tape stuff and edit stuff. They might as well just edit around and make it look like these dramatic things happen that would never happen in a regular wrestling match.
Listen, I think if Nikki Six could come back to life and Nick Gage could come back to life, I think Elias could come back to life. He's on that level.
That's fair. That's fair. So we'll see when WrestleMania comes. Speaking of WrestleMania, next weekend is WrestleMania. It's a two-day event. So next week, at some point, we'll be taping a third episode of Fight Geist where we predict the entire WrestleMania card, all 16 or 17 matches or whatever, and we're turning this into a game. We're making this into a competition between myself and between Phil. And whichever one of us, every time one of us picks a match correctly going forward in all pay-per-views that we predict, we get a point for each one of those matches. And further along, once each of us has more points, we will start to figure out what those points mean, because at the moment we kind of have no idea what we're doing with them. But what we do know is we're turning others' competition in the ring into our competition on the airwaves. And if you think that you have a better list of predictions than I do or than Phil does, let us know on social media. I'd like to announce officially, because I forgot to mention it last week, we are at Fight Geist Wrestling on Instagram. We are at Fight Geist Pod, as in podcast, on Twitter. We're on YouTube, of course, and we have an email, fightgeistwrestling@gmail.com. Let us know your predictions, and I think there may be a prize in store in the future if you get more points overall than me or Phil. Regardless, that's next week. We're going to be predicting WrestleMania for the first time, our first pay-per-view. This week, we have a very different agenda. We decided to come up with our favorite wrestlers of the moment. Right now, 2020, March 2020, when everything in wrestling is shut down, there are still some wrestlers who shine through and who make us love them all the more, considering the circumstances. I know I picked 5, a couple of honorable mentions as well. You picked like 20 or something. You have a lot. So we're going to start out with the guys who don't quite fall into your top 5, but are your honorable mentions. Who are those people?
All right. So I rank my honorable mentions. These are people that absolutely deserve all the attention in the world, but I just did not put them on the list. It's just the way things worked out, all right? So starting at my number 5 honorable mentions, Humberto Carrillo. He's amazing.
Really?
He's great. I've been loving him. He puts on such great matches. Someone else that's also at number 5 is Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy Jack Perry. I love him so much. His matches are great. He has amazing hair, and he's a boy from the jungle. It's great.
It's a good way to describe him, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, though, I'm a huge fan of Jungle Boy. But now going on to number 4. I have a couple for number 4.
So Kevin Owens. These are number 4 as your honorable mentions ranking. These
number 4 honorable mentions.
Right, okay.
Yes. So starting at number 4 for the honorable mentions, Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, I've been loving him in his tattoo sleeve. I've been loving his rivalry with Seth Rollins and all that good stuff. And his little friendship with Samoa Joe, this and that. Good stuff.
Good stuff. I had Kevin Owens on my honorable mentions originally. I did take him off that list because I feel like Seth Rollins kind of emasculated him on Raw this week. He really made him look like shit. God. I liked it.
He made him humble.
Yeah, he made him, exactly. He broke his back and made him humble. And so because of that, I think Seth Rollins rose a little bit above Kevin Owens for me, but I can see how he'd be on your list. Who else is there?
To go off topic, I think everyone should look up The Iron Sheik on the Howard Stern Show. Google that. It's the best thing you'll ever see in your life.
It is pretty great.
But also at number four, Randy Orton.
Randy Orton.
This whole thing with Edge is giving me 2009 vibes, 2008 vibes. I'm loving it. I'm completely loving it. It's almost better than it was back in the day. Like, this is some real stuff right here.
Oh, yeah.
The promos that Orton cutting. Like, even that promo with Beth Phoenix, it was like, yo, he was talking about back in the day, and he does not like to talk about his old self because of drugs, and he used to smoke, and this and
people's
that.
Shitting in people's bags,
a bad guy. He was kind of a bad guy. I mean, he's still kind of a bad guy, but, you know, you can tell he's not taking any more steroids.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
It got so real, and then he RKO'd Beth Phoenix, and that just made my year, honestly.
Yeah.
What do you think about Randy Orton?
Well, I think that would be a little bit of a spoiler for my list that's to come if I mentioned Randy Orton at this point. I have also loved this this feud. I think because you brought up this whole storyline, I would like to say that I put Edge on my honorable mentions for this week. Edge is one of my favorites of all time. I just think that Randy Orton has proven to be carrying this feud at this point. Like, Edge has not really been on TV very much. He's been on a couple of episodes, but Randy Orton hit him with that concerto, broke his neck again, or whatever, and he beat up Matt Hardy, and he beat up Beth Phoenix, and then he had the whole thing, a whole altercation with Edge again, and he had an awesome promo on this week's Raw. So Randy Orton, I think, ranks higher for me than Edge. But do you have Edge anywhere on your list?
I don't have Edge on my list because thinking of it from January 2020 to now, he hasn't really been doing much. He has not been on TV every week. He was out for a while because of that whole Edge chair shot thing. So I was like, you know what? I don't think he would really fit on the list that much.
Yeah.
Considering he hasn't been on TV.
That's true.
You know what?
I will say, though, we mentioned, like, last week, I think he was on both of our top five lists last week that we made of all time. The only one, we might talk about this later, one of only two times I've ever shed tears watching wrestling was when he retired, Edge. And when he came back, I'm not going to lie, was one of the only other times.
Dude, same. When he retired, oh my God. We're going to get into that. After this, we totally have to talk about the times we have shed tears and the times that wrestling made us really, 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 really happy.
Yeah.
Because it's happened. And it just makes, it just, oh my God.
And for me, they are few and far between. There aren't that many moments that, I can think of only three moments where I feel like I've actually cried watching wrestling, and only a few others that I feel like I've actually like jumped up and down and been like totally crazy, like happy about it. So that should definitely be a topic, perhaps for the week after next. And I would love to hear what your times are that you have shed tears watching wrestling. Because when Edge retired, I was 10 years old, so that might be the excuse. But when Edge returned, I was 19 years old, and I'm not ashamed to say that I did, in fact, get choked up when Edge returned, and he walked into the arena, and his eyes were wide, and he looked around at the crowd, and he finally got to return to this thing that he has spent his whole career building. But anyway, who else do you have on your list?
There's no shame in that. Oh, we're so going to get into this. Yeah. Oh, my God. I can go on and on about it, but the other people on my list, Joey Janela, he's amazing. He kissed Jungle Boy. I don't know if you've seen that. There's a video going around of him kissing Jungle Boy. It was a little peck.
I have not seen that.
Yeah, I think they were really drunk. Well, I don't think Jungle Boy drinks. But
no, I think he's
usual.
I almost said he's kayfabe. I think he's straight edge.
He's kayfabe.
Yeah, he's kayfabe.
Yeah, he is. I think he is straight edge along with Darby Allin.
Maybe he's just kayfabe straight edge.
Maybe.
Darby Allin, by the way.
Do they have alcohol in the jungle?
Oh, do they? That's a good point. They probably have their own way of making it, you know, like in like old mythology and stuff where they'd make wine out of whatever like magical powers they had. I bet dinosaurs have something they can use to create alcohol, you know. It floats around like that. Luchasaurus may well have his own drinking problem we have no idea about. Who knows? But who else is on your list besides Joey Janela? And you had Jungle Boy on your list as well, right?
Yeah, I did.
So
was that this, number five?
The fact that both of these guys are on your list, does that stem completely from the fact that they made out?
All right, they didn't make out. Jesus Christ, there was one little kiss.
Uh-huh.
But you got me there. It does come
from the entire thing. Because I can't remember anything else Joey Janela has really done recently. He had a match on Dark this week.
He had that match with Kenny Omega. Wait, was it Kenny Omega? Was it Kenny Omega? Or am I getting it wrong?
Well, he fought
Kenny
Omega.
He had some match.
I was in the arena for a match that he had with Kenny Omega on AEW Dark, the Lights Out match.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, but that was a while ago. That was last year. October.
I'm a horrible fan. I should be able to list everything that he did.
Yeah, he's on your list.
He's had his rivalry with Kip Sabian and all that. Yeah. And he's had his promos and this and that. And he does stuff on Dark. Joey Janela is always going to be on my list. There's no way Joey Janela isn't going to be on any type of list of mine.
That's fair.
He can die and never be on TV. He's going to be on my list, all right?
Okay.
Now, going on to the last person on my number four honorable mentions, Aleister Black.
Oh.
He's another person, been having amazing matches. Oh, he should be on my list, but he's not. I'm not going to get into it. You know how this works, damn
it. Aleister Black is awesome. People. I think they're finally booking him correctly right now. That sounds like such an internet guy thing for me to say. They're finally using him right, but they are. They're using him right now, more than they ever have since he came up to the main roster. And I'm excited, even though, I mean, it's Bobby Lashley he's facing at WrestleMania, I'm still looking forward to this match he's having.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, same. Aleister Black is still good. I'm very happy he's not buried. He's also with Zelina Vega, and they're in quarantine together, and I am jealous.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Are you jealous of Zelina, or are you jealous of Aleister?
Aleister. Come on,
really?
Now.
All right, fair enough. Who else is on your list?
You're the one that's jealous of Zelina.
I cannot tell a lie. I mean, those tattoos, man.
Yeah, you like those tattoos, don't you?
Yeah, the half man bun with the sides shaved. I mean, come on.
That turns you on, Jack.
100%.
Ah, nice.
All right, who else is on your list now for your honorable mentions?
Number three, Sammy Guevara.
Oh, wow.
I absolutely love him. He's amazing. He's someone that I would be friends with in real life.
Yeah.
He's that, like, cocky piece of shit, and he's great. I love him.
He's pretty awesome. He's
absolutely hilarious, and he's amazing in the ring. Let's talk about that match he had with Kenny Omega. I wish there was not commercial breaks in between that. I was feeling that match. It was so good. Yeah. And he made out with that paper.
The fake Brandi Rhodes, right? The caricature. Yeah, see, I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of that match, to be honest. I feel like that dragged on. It was 25 minutes long. Yeah.
Well, it was also because there were commercials in between. I feel like if that match didn't have commercials, it would have looked way better.
That's
true. I kind of knew that would have tainted the match, all the commercials. Like, if that was on the pay-per-view, that would be, like, match of the month or something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
It was a really good match, honestly.
Also, we knew Kenny Omega was going to win, though. That's the thing. We knew that he was going to keep that title, so.
Yeah, we knew Cody was going to beat Darby. We knew Kenny was going to beat Sammy. But,
yeah,
honestly, I thought there was going to be a chance for Sammy to win. That's how good the match was.
Yeah.
You know it's a good match when that happens.
This is true.
Okay, so I only have two more. Number two, Cody Rhodes.
Oh, okay. Cody Rhodes has been good recently. Except here's the thing. The reason that Cody Rhodes wasn't on my list, he wasn't even in my honorable mentions, and I didn't consider him for this list. I would have probably a couple weeks ago, but, I mean, there's this abomination on the side of his neck. Don't tell me you like that. Don't tell me you like that.
Okay, listen. Listen. If it was in black and white, it kind of would have been cooler. But also, it's kind of growing on me. The more I see it, the more I'm getting used to it. But it's just so odd because, like, dude, you look at someone like Corey Graves. He's covered in tattoos, has neck tattoos. It's like, okay, it makes sense. But he doesn't really have any other tattoos, and he just has some weird, random red, white, and blue tattoo covering his neck.
Yeah.
And it just it kind of bothers me, but I'm kind of getting used to it. And I feel like it's going to bother me more when I see him in a suit because he's a suit guy.
He's a suit guy.
And I don't think suit guys should have neck tattoos.
Oh, agreed. Completely. I mean, if he were ever to drop out.
At least not that tattoo.
Not that.
Like, Corgan's suit looks cool. But I don't even want to get crazy about that tattoo right now.
I think
it's just,
nobody should have that tattoo. It's bad.
I don't know. It should have been a black. It kind of looks racist, honestly.
It looks racist? The tattoo?
Yeah, he looks like... I feel like some people are going to get the wrong idea. Like, you see a guy walking with a gigantic American flag thing on his neck.
That's true. It's
kind of very Trump supporter-ish.
Yeah, yeah, right? It is a little questionable.
That could be all in my head. I don't know.
It might be. I never thought of that. But here's the thing. Have you noticed when he was on commentary this week and they would cut to him, he had a towel around his neck, to, like, covering the entire tattoo? He's like, yeah. he's starting to want to hide that thing, and I don't blame him at all. I'm surprised he ever got it in the first place. I feel like he'll try to hide it as much as possible in the future now. Let's rush through these last couple honorable mentions, because I realize that we have not even gotten to our main lists yet, which was supposed to be the meat of this entire episode. But who is left on your honorable mentions list? Right, yeah.
Okay. Number one, Kenny Omega. Oh. I'm not even going to get into that. I could go on and on and on and on. You know how it is with me and Kenny Omega.
Yeah,
I'm just going to get to the meat.
Okay. You ranked him number two all time last time, which I thought was very...
Well, actually, he was kind of tied with Chris Jericho.
Yeah. Which I is think even about worse.
Right, he's number two. Shut up. He's number two. I think, you know what? Just because you say that, yeah, he's tied. You know, just because he said that, he's number one, all right? He's
Jesus. The best. All time?
Let me get into the meat.
Wait, I'm going into our logo right now. I see there's an image of Kenny Omega at the top right of our logo, and I am erasing it right here. And I'm going to move that into the trash can at the bottom of the logo just for you.
You think that's funny?
That's a little funny.
Wait till I get my hands on your computer. I'm going to murder that logo and just put faces of Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and Steel Panther everywhere.
Oh my god.
And you're just gonna have to deal with it. That's gonna be our new logo.
By the way, you do notice, I'm sure, that I did add Steel Panther to our logo at your request, but I made them as small as I possibly could at the top of the logo.
Yeah.
And then that's how the way they're gonna stay. The Young Bucks are going to stay in the trash can at the bottom of the logo.
No, I want everybody to know this, honestly. The Young Bucks are one of the greatest tag teams in the world, and I know 90% of you agree with me. Do not listen to this guy who put the Young Bucks in the trash, all right?
The Young Bucks are trash.
He doesn't know anything about wrestling, okay?
Oh, whoa. Hey, I host a wrestling podcast, by the way. I think I'm the most informed person on wrestling in the entire world, so...
And Goldberg's world champion right now. That doesn't mean anything.
Well, yeah. All right? I will never like Goldberg. I will never like a single thing he does, so don't even try to convince me in that way. Regardless, I just want to say my other honorable mention.
I think I don't like you a lot.
Oh my god, is this even going to work? We're two episodes in and we're fighting each other?
Let's just get into the beat.
When we get back in the studio, I'm going to kick your ass.
I hope you try.
Oh, yeah.
I really hope you
try. Yeah, and I'll succeed, murder you. More like.
I can murder you with my bare hands.
Okay, who's your number five right now? Your actual number five on your top five, not all time, right in this moment.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I've been ready. Let's go.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, my number five. My number five of 2020 is Darby Allin.
Oh, okay. No, yes. I like this pick. I got to be honest, I didn't even think of Darby Allin. He's not on my list. I didn't even consider him, but now that I think about it, he had an awesome promo this week. I think that he is among my favorites wrestlers, period, right now.
Oh, yeah, dude, same. That's why he's on the list. I thought long and hard about this list, and I was looking through a bunch of people from WWE and AEW, and I was just like, you know, Darby Allin deserves to be on that top five right now because he's been killing it. Yeah. His match with Cody was really cool. And Darby Allin's like Daniel Bryan, but way better. He's 5'8". And he's really having good matches with these big men, and it's very cool.
Yeah.
And he's way cooler than Daniel Bryan.
I feel like I resent that implication that he is somehow better than Daniel Bryan. But
he's way better than Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan does not have as good matches like Darby Allin.
I think I can see your point, but I do not agree. I think right now Darby Allin I like better because Daniel Bryan right now hasn't really been doing much of anything, but as soon as Daniel Bryan goes to WrestleMania and he takes that Intercontinental title, I think you're going to be singing a different tune, and a tune that sounds like the Riot of the Valkyries. That's the tune you'll be singing.
No, I'm not going to be singing that tune. I'm going to be singing a tune that sounds like BVS by Steel Panther, which stands for Big Vagina Syndrome. It's absolutely amazing. God. Everyone should go check that song out right now.
That is
but
disgusting.
It's not really. I mean, it's you got to listen to the lyrics. It's kind of true, but
oh, are the lyrics really deep? They're really deep and intellectual lyrics.
They're
He's
really
talking about
deep.
The society and the government in America today, and they're talking about how oppressed women with the large genitalia are.
I guarantee you the world would be a better place if there were less big vaginas.
Jesus.
And that's all he's saying is that he wants to cure that. He wants to cure BVS. Michael Starr.
I don't even know what to say about that. That's such a strange opinion.
I don't understand how you don't see it. I don't understand how you don't see the big picture and having tighter vaginas for all.
All right, I'm going to move on to my top five on my list. I think my number five is a man who actually is my number one all time. Right now, he's down at number five, but he's Chris Jericho. What? What do you think about that? You don't agree?
No, nothing. Go on.
Chris Jericho, he's feuding with Matt Hardy right now. We talked about this segment earlier. I don't love it so far, which is why he's only number five. But I think everything he does is just gold at this point. He literally, everything he touches is just perfect. The only other thing that I dislike about him right now is he went on commentary recently. He's talking about the Blood and Guts match they're going to do, the match against the Elite. And he's like, every single time he mentions the Elite, he has to go, oh, but I respect them, and they're great wrestlers. It's like, you're the heel. You're supposed to be saying your opponents suck, I feel like, right?
Well, I think the Young Bucks, I think the Elite is so good that you can't say they suck. That just doesn't work.
I'd be okay if he said everybody from Omega to Paige to Cody was great, but please do not compliment the Young Bucks.
Young Bucks are absolutely amazing. I don't understand how you don't like the Young Bucks. It doesn't make any type of sense to me. I really don't want to get into that right now. It'll just take up the whole entire episode.
That's
right?
True. We could dedicate a future episode to that for sure.
Yes. And we should dedicate the next 11 episodes.
11?
But that's what that, yeah.
Jesus. Okay. Well, 11. That's not going to happen.
It's going to happen.
But we'll have a future discussion about why I hate the Young Bucks. Regardless, you're number four on your list, higher up than Darby Allin. Who is this?
Seth Rollins.
Well, that's strange because my number four is Seth Rollins as well.
Look at that. High five me through the camera.
All right, high five. Boom. Oh, and nobody listening on audio can see it, but that's all right. We did high five. We stretched our arms across several boroughs in New York here.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins.
We're like that dude from the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, exactly. Number four for both of us is Seth Rollins. I know you love Seth Rollins his whole career, and so do I, but I haven't liked him very much until recently. So what is it about Seth Rollins right now that you love?
Well, I can see where you're coming from about not liking him until recently. I mean, but I still liked him even through his whole babyface thing because I'm just a mark. But Seth Rollins, this whole Messiah gimmick is absolutely amazing. He's wearing the glove, Jack. He's wearing the glove.
He does have the glove. That's my favorite part.
Wearing the glove, Jack.
Yeah.
From when he was in a prime, all right?
God.
He's
the
wearing
beard?
That glove, and it brings back memories. That glove brings back memories of half his head being blonde, and it's great.
Oh, it's beautiful. The only thing left is to dye half of his hair blonde again. He is so great. He looks a little bit too much like Straight Edge Society CM Punk right now for my taste, but I actually like it. I have no problem with that. The only thing is that we mentioned this last time. He did steal my gimmick.
He did. He really did. He really did.
He really ripped me off.
Because he really stole your gimmick.
Yeah, see, I was going to do this. I wasn't going to call it Monday Night Messiah because I don't want to sound like a douchebag. But I was going to do this religious gimmick when I debuted on the independent circuit, if that ever happens. And Seth Rollins ripped it. Huh?
When it happens.
Okay, well, thank you for that vote of confidence. But Seth Rollins ripped it right out of my hands. I was holding this gimmick in my hands, and he's just like, no, I'm taking that because I'm on TV. So fuck you, Seth Rollins. That's why you're only number four.
Yep.
All right, fair enough. So
he really took your gimmick. It's crazy. He literally told me about this gimmick, like what, a year and a half ago, maybe?
Yeah, probably about that, yeah.
Like that.
I mean,
and he took it.
It's my gimmick in my video game, in my WWE 2K18. Yes, I don't play 2K20. I don't play that shit. I play the old one.
Neither.
Yeah, good. The only thing that sucks about it is they like took away the online features now for 2K18. But other than that, I'm still playing it like all the time. Universe mode, dude. The storylines in my universe mode are better than anything WWE has ever done. I swear I'm a wrestling genius. Just saying it.
You should get your own promotion, Jack.
I totally should. I feel like maybe I'll do that someday. I think that'd be pretty dope.
I feel like more independent promotions should really do storyline things. Yeah. Like, they all do, okay, they all kind of do storylines, but it's not like they're really, like, they don't actually do it. I don't know. I just feel like it's not that good. Like, I've never been invested in a storyline in independent wrestling. I mean, there's been a few times, like, what's his username? Mike Rolando from BCW.
Yeah, so that was a local
one. Good time over there. What'd you say?
That was a local promotion. Our BCW is near where we live. I feel like there's some good ones. Like Evolve, I think, has had some good storylines. CZW used to have some good ones.
Independent? Like, I don't think Evolve is really independent like that. They're kind of like Ring of Honor.
That's true.
Like, they're kind of like low tier. Like, they're like a low budget movie, but a little bit higher. But like, I'm talking about our local indies. Like, there should be more storylines in our local indies. Yeah, I just wish it was more like SmackDown. I wish everything was more like SmackDown versus Raw.
That's a very good point. Or just universe mode in general. I feel like, you know, if they cared about their storylines and the way their wrestlers interact with each other, every single wrestling show would be awesome. But it feels like a lot of people just want to put it on these matches. Oh, well, whatever. Hey, coronavirus took your fucking promotions away, so maybe try harder, right?
Try harder, damn it. Hold on, how long have you been playing SmackDown vs. Raw? I'm curious.
I think the first one I had was 2010. SmackDown vs. Raw 2010.
That was the first one?
Yeah, because that's when I got into wrestling.
Oh, yeah, I got into it before you.
Yeah.
My first one was 08.
Oh, damn.
And then I went back and got 7 and 6. And, dude, the storylines in 7 and 6 are so good. I've played them so much. And honestly, I wouldn't even care if an independent promotion took one of those storylines and put it into their show. I would be happy about it. Because there's nothing like those storylines from those old video games, honestly. But let's get back to their topic.
Right. Speaking of WWE, speaking of what's happening right now, and all that. That was the worst segue I've easily ever made. I don't even know what that meant.
Pretty bad. It's okay.
No, that was terrible. I'm losing it up here. I'm losing it. The coffee's wearing off. Phil, who is your number three currently?
Hangman Adam Page.
I like
who I am currently creating in SmackDown vs. Raw 2006 because I am a mark. I also created I created Darby Allin SmackDown vs. Raw 2006. If anyone wants to see him, DM me on Instagram.
Oh, I want to see this for sure.
I'll gladly show you him. Prince Havoc. With Prince Havoc on Instagram with a 1 instead of an I and a K instead of a C. I want to show the world my Darby Allin creation. It's so cool. But
so this show is all of a sudden turned into you just plugging yourself. I didn't realize we were doing that.
Of course I'm going to plug myself. Come on now. Okay. You should plug yourself too. Tell me your Instagram.
Okay, it's AjaxLP on Instagram. AjaxLP. Get it? Because like my name's Jack and it's like a pun and it's like a play on words and all that.
Cleaning supply.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why I put it in my nicknames at the beginning. But regardless, the more important Instagram you should follow is Fightgeist Wrestling, of course. If you're not following Fightgeist Wrestling on Instagram, what are you doing? If you're listening to us right now and you don't follow us on Instagram and you don't subscribe to us on YouTube, you're out of your mind.
Completely insane. You belong in an asylum.
Exactly. So your number three, you said, was Hangman Adam Page. What is it about Hangman that right now that you enjoy?
All right, so let me tell you something. Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page versus the Young Bucks at Revolution. I'm telling you right now, I think that's one of my most favorite matches of all time. And let me tell you why. I've been a huge fan of the Elite. Been watching Being the Elite since, 2017, something like that. And the Young Bucks, Hangman Page, Kenny Omega, they've been shut up. They've all been through so much throughout all these years. Bullet Club and New Japan, Ring of Honor and this and that, and just to see how Hangman Page is kind of turning his back on them, and just seeing the roller coaster of emotions that's played out through all of this storyline. Oh my God, it was just such an emotional match. Yeah. And the match was so good too. I don't know why I got so. I didn't cry over it, but I could have, and it was so good. And let me continue about Hangman Page now. I just wanted to say about that match. Honestly, I think that's one of my favorite matches of all time. But Hangman Page, I love him. Like, his whole beer drinking thing and him being drunk on being the Elite is absolutely hilarious. And he's, like, a really good wrestler, and I like his vibe. And
yeah.
He also graduated from college with a communications degree.
Ooh.
Which is my that's major as well.
What you're
right
doing.
Now.
Yeah.
So we have that connection.
Yeah. So you are a future Hangman Page, is what you're saying.
Yeah. More of the he's more of a cowboy and more of a rock star, so
I see. Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I also love Hangman Page, but my number three is somebody completely different, and we've talked about him already a little bit, but Phil, I hear voices in my head.
Do you really?
Yeah, they counsel me, they understand one. And they talk to me.
Really?
Yeah.
What have they told you? Have they told you to kill your parents too?
They whoa, two, huh?
Wait, they, what? What happened? Huh?
Well, they tell me things that I will do, and they tell me things I'll do to you, and they talk to me. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Nice.
Are you picking up what I'm putting down right now?
You know what? I'm scared because I was actually talking about the voices that I hear in my head, and I now realize you were talking about Randy Orton, and
yeah.
I hope you don't think I'm right.
No, this is scaring me a little bit because I was not expecting
that
to go
that way. Let's just forget about what I was talking about.
Yeah,
Randy Orton, you're number three. Go on. I'm not crazy.
The internet is forever, and people are going to hear that sound clip for all time. So you can't really take
that back.
We'll
edit it out. You know.
Regardless, Randy Orton is awesome. I don't like him, like, typically. I think that Randy Orton, I mean, over his whole career, he's done some cool stuff. But I'm not typically, I wouldn't call myself a Randy Orton fan. Right now, I absolutely would, because I think that his segments are pretty much the best thing on Raw each and every week. His feud with Edge is incredible. We talked about it already a little bit because he's in your honorable mentions, as you said before. But Randy Orton, dude, he's crazy.
Insane.
Yeah. He's concertoing people. He's RKOing Beth Phoenix, of all people. He's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, something I want to point out about Randy Orton is that he's kind of had the same gimmick since 2009, and it works.
It does.
It works. He plays it so well.
He does, yeah.
It's so good.
I can't imagine him being any other character, any other sort of character at all. I think that
he's almost like one of those sick, demented, like, goth characters that have been around in wrestling, but he's like, he looks like the average Joe. I don't know if I'm explaining it right, but
no,
I just feel like the combination of that crazy type of attitude and him looking like just a regular cool guy and just him himself, his own personality, just makes the whole thing work so good.
Yeah, I think the Viper is like the perfect description of him. He looks like he's like an actual human embodiment of a snake, which is such a weird thing, but he looks like he could be a fucking actual snake, and it's creepy.
Yeah.
And he's a creepy guy, and he's a little too tanned, and he's got a weird haircut.
He has so many tattoos. He has a great tan, Jack.
Yeah. See, I'm not sure if I actually really like Randy Orton, but I like him right now, and that's enough for me. So, who is your number two in current wrestling?
Now, my number two is none other than Jon Moxley.
Ooh, Jon
yes.
Moxley. Now, I didn't include Jon Moxley on my list at all.
Wow.
You're disappointed.
Wow.
I'm sure you are.
I'm very disappointed, but it's okay. I'll explain to you why.
Yeah.
Well, like, his whole feud with Jericho, absolutely amazing. And his speech afterwards, I don't know, it just made me so happy. Like, just him winning, watching his speech afterwards and seeing, like, him really talk, like, that was really him talking. It was just, like, kind of emotional because it's, like, everything he's been through from CZW to all the crap in WWE and now AEW's a thing and now he's here and now he's on top. It's just, oh, my God. It's very nice. It's very nice to see someone from our little deathmatch scene over here actually make it to the top, because not a lot of people have done that. Like, I think there's like three people from CZW that have really made it. And
yeah.
Like, that's Adam Cole, Kevin Owens, and Jon Moxley.
And
it's just great to see that.
It is. Was this, you said this was emotional for you. Was this one of the few times that you cried at wrestling? Is that what you're telling me?
I didn't cry, but I was just very, very happy.
Yeah.
Honestly, the whole AEW Revolution pay-per-view was very good. It just made me want it more. My wrestling dreams to come true more. It's just crazy. It's just like AEW is such a cool thing because it's made by people like us, you know? And we're finally getting what we've wanted for like all these years. Because WWE has just been kind of trash lately.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like AEW is like, to me, AEW is that cool, like, 2000s era ruthless aggression WWE that we all want. Like, everything from the soundtracks, the cool metal soundtracks, to, like, the look of the stage and, like, the promos and them cursing. It's just the wrestling. It's just everything is just so perfect with AEW. I can go on and on.
Yeah, AEW, I really enjoy AEW, of course. But AEW is at war, you might say, with a different promotion that always seemed like it was like that cool alternative to WWE until AEW showed up on the scene, and that's NXT. What do you think about NXT right now?
I mean, everyone in NXT is amazing, but I haven't been watching it because AEW is so cool. I don't even think they're at war with NXT, really. I feel like they're at war with WWE. Yeah. Even though it might not show it in the statistics. I mean, I feel like, think about it. Like a lot of people in AEW are getting paid as much as they would in WWE, and like all that business mumbo jumbo. Like, I feel like within the next 3 years, AEW is going to be like ranked higher in WWE.
I kind of hope so. Like,
and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, so the thing about NXT though is currently right now my number two guy comes from there. Do you have any idea who it is, knowing me?
Roderick Strong? No.
Yeah, it's Roderick Strong is my number two. No, it's not Roderick Strong.
Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, you got it. Johnny Gargano. Okay. And you see, I almost included him in my top five all time last week. He is really one of my favorites. I always love what he's doing. Right now, though, I think he has kind of risen from where he was a few months ago. He kind of was like not doing very much recently, but right now he's back feuding with Ciampa again. And they're supposed to have, it's weird, but I mean, of course it's the whole Corona thing, but they're supposed to have an empty building match where they're going to like fight in an empty building that Triple H picked out for them. And it's kind of cool.
I have to watch NXT now.
You should. If it's like, he said if they, after that match, if they interact with each other at all, they both are fired from NXT. So this has to be their last match against each other, which I really like. I love this whole storyline, and the best thing about it is Johnny Gargano is right. Ciampa is an asshole, and he always has been. So Gargano's completely in the right, but he's kind of the heel, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
like Ciampa a lot, though. I like Ciampa a lot.
I love Ciampa, but
his theme song's cool, too.
His theme song's cool. I think Gargano's theme song is better, in my opinion. But
it's still Rebel Heart.
It's what?
It's still Rebel Heart, like the girl singing.
Yeah, it's still the girl singing, yeah.
That's such a good song, honestly. Yeah, I love that song awesome. So much.
And it still kind of works as a heel, because he, like, thinks he's right. Well, he is right, but, you know, he's, like, he's in that weird mindset where he's like, I'm the rebel, but everybody else is like, dude, you're an asshole. It's kind of interesting. But
I need to watch NXT now.
You should totally watch NXT. Regardless, I'm sure your number two is not from NXT, so who is your number two from, and is it AEW?
My number one, actually.
Your number one.
Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho is my number five.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so why is he so much higher for you?
Well, I mean, he's my favorite wrestler of all time, but two, he's actually been doing so much awesome stuff in 2020. Everything from his promos to the Inner Circle to like his match with Moxley and just the whole story, the whole story with him and Moxley and just like his whole gimmick is so great and just... I love Chris Jericho so much. His promos make me laugh, and that's what I need from wrestling. I need to laugh. He cuts the best promos ever.
Yeah, that's true. I think I love when he was on AEW, and he's like, no fans are allowed to come to AEW until I say so. And it's like he's turning the pandemic into his own gimmick, which I love. But yeah, for me, he didn't quite reach the top of my list, but I can definitely see why. He did, and for me, it's I also have somebody on my list who's lower on your list. My number one, right now, my favorite wrestler going at the moment, is Hangman Page.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I could agree with that. He could have been on number one.
Yeah. See, I hate the Young Bucks. This is established. But they have two matches. In history, they have two matches that I love. And one of them was them against Kenny and Kota Ibushi from a while back. And the other one is the match against Kenny and Hangman that you mentioned. I love that match from Revolution.
I'm so glad you agree with me on that.
Yeah, finally.
I thought you were going to shit on it, and I was going to hate you.
No, it was really great.
Go off, Jack.
The storyline with them, with this group of the Elite coming apart at the seams, with the Young Bucks, like, not, you know, kind of shunning Hangman because of his drinking problem, and with Kenny Omega kind of taking their side, even though he's the tag team partner of Hangman, it's all so great. I think it is probably, I mean, before the virus, maybe, it's the best storyline going in wrestling right now. I'm excited to see where it goes. It'll probably end up with Kenny versus Hangman at some point, which I think will be really cool. But Hangman Page, I never thought I liked him. I never thought I liked him compared to the rest of the Elite, but he's easily my favorite member. And it's so weird comparing him to the beginning of AEW, where he was like this vanilla babyface, just winning all the time. He's now just such a different character, and it's awesome. So that's my list. And
I agree with you about Hangman Page, because he was not really a top guy. But now him breaking from the whole Elite thing, like, it breaks my heart, but like, it really made him a top player now.
Yeah. Was like, that one of the times really you cool,
'cause he's like on his own. Like, he's like doing his own thing, drinking and doing this and all that. Like, it's pretty cool, honestly.
Was that one of the times that you cried at wrestling too, when he broke up with the Elite?
Oh yeah, that really hurt my heart. You know what hurt my heart? That photo of, well, it happened in AEW when Matt Jackson flipped off Hangman Page to his face. I was like, damn.
Dude, this is crazy. Part of why I hate the Young Bucks. Not only in real life are they assholes, but in storyline they're assholes.
How are they assholes?
Well, okay. This is, of course, a long argument we could have. And we're nearly out of time here, so I simply can't get into all the reasons I hate the Young Bucks. No, you know, it's fine, actually. I think we can get into this another week, and, you know, I can defend myself because I'm right, and I always will be right. And you know, you can have your silly little opinions over there, but, you know, ultimately they don't matter compared to mine.
You've never met the Young Bucks. You don't even know them. How are they assholes? They are literally like the nicest people on earth. And I know for a fact you wouldn't say this to their face.
I wouldn't say this to their face, and you're totally right. Regardless, what I'll say is this. My name is Jack Peterson. I am Ajax. I am Mr. Clean. I am the Corona guy. I'm Quarantine Man. I am Sex Pox. I am a Hall of Famer with the hard R. I am Jefferson Starship. And I'm the host every week of Fight Geist Wrestling, the alternative wrestling podcast. You can follow us at Fight Geist Wrestling on Instagram. You can follow us at Fight Geist Pod on Twitter. You can email us at fightgeistwrestling@gmail.com. Find us on all your podcast services. You can find us now on iTunes. We're on Spotify, dude. We're on YouTube. We are on Stitcher. We are on Google Play. We're on all these services. We're on SoundCloud as well. I don't know who has Stitcher anymore, but we're on that. If you have the app for whatever reason still in 2020, go download us, dude. Speaking of YouTube, we have a video up there that I'm very proud of that I edited myself, and it's of our clip where we're talking about X-Pac from a couple weeks ago on SmackDown. It's up there. It's on YouTube. It's called the NWO's Moment of Bliss. And find that and watch that, because I think it's pretty great if you haven't seen it already. Regardless, I am the host every week of Fight Geist Wrestling. I'm joined every week by my subordinate, my co-host, my employee, shall we say. His name is Philip Broccoli.
Broccoli? I didn't know I was getting paid for this. I'm an employee.
You're an unpaid employee. You're an independent contractor.
I don't like that. I think I'm going to quit the show.
Oh, no. Already?
Already.
Well, this is fast.
Unless you pay me. I want $1 per episode.
Well, maybe we can work that out in the future. But, Phil, take us out.
All right. I am Prince Havoc. I am the biggest Steel Panther fan in the world. I love the Young Bucks. I hate Jack Peterson.
Whoa.
My last name is not Broccoli. My last name is Barakalis, which is way cooler than Peterson. And I think me and Jack are going to have a shoot fight one day, and I might kill him. But I would like to say, follow me on Instagram. I said it already, but I'll say it again. Prince Havoc. Instead of an I, it's a 1. Instead of a C, it's a K. And DM me, because I like talking to the fans. I like talking to anybody, honestly. I want to talk about the Young Bucks and how good they are and how much Jack sucks. So please DM me with your hatred towards Jack. Also follow the Instagram of our podcast. Jack said it already. Fight Guys Wrestling.
On Instagram, exactly. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Alternative Wrestling Podcast, and keep on listening for more.
Hold on.
Whoa, hey, dude, the song's ending soon, man. We gotta wrap it up.
Jack, I just want to tell you that Steel Panther is the greatest band in the world, and the Young Bucks are the best tag team in the world. They're better than you will ever be. They're better humans than you'll ever be. You'll never be as good as the Young Bucks. I hope you know that.
See you next week.
Bye. I had to bash you after that. You're getting mad.